Man today, by and large, lives as if the harvest and the provision of the food in that harvest is a natural thing. If he thinks about it at all, he will readily conclude that it all depends on the vagaries of the weather, or as many would say today, good luck, or whatever than that, or something along those lines. The child of the Lord, however, knows much better than that. They know of a certainty that as the weather is in the hand of the Lord, they know that the provision of the harvest and its untold blessings is a result of the kindness and mercy and goodness of the Almighty God of heaven. It's because God has chosen to bless the earth and make it fruitful that we have these tokens that are around us today. Having said that, however, we ought never to think that such blessing only comes at the harvest season. We ought never to think that this is the only time that we're to remember the temporal blessings that the Lord has been pleased to send. No, we need to remember them all the time. But as this is our harvest weekend, we thank God that we can remember at this particular time. And we're rejoicing in the fact that as Genesis 8 and verse 22 says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Thank God, I believe in a God who never breaks his word. And thank God then, we can remember that the Lord sends this provision the whole year round. I think a wonderful example of this is found in the Old Testament. You remember how the people were wandering or marching through the wilderness, rather. It turned out that it was a longer period of time due to the unbelief of the people, and it ended up at some 40 years. But at every single day, the Lord provided food for his people. Exodus chapter 16, verse 35 records, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabitant. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. In spite of their provocation of the Lord, in their unbelief and rebellion and so forth, God was still gracious to them. He fed them every single day that they were there until they set foot in the land of promise. So we can learn something very simple right away. God keeps his word. He's gracious to mankind. He supplies our needs even on a daily basis. Look at verse 19. Obviously, as the text this morning, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. I want you to see, first of all, in these words, the source of the blessing. The source of the blessing is very obvious. It is the Lord. He's referred to once by that name, and also by the phrase which we'll see a little bit closer in a few moments, the God of our salvation. In other words, the source of the daily benefits or blessings that each one of us enjoys is God himself. It's not a question then whether it's the labor of our own hands or the sweat of our own brow that provides the food on our tables and the shelter over our heads, because ultimately, whatever we can do for ourselves in that regard is because we're enabled by the Lord. And so therefore we can see how thankful we are to be to the Lord for even enabling us to earn a wage and the wherewithal to provide these things. Of course, that's not a popular thing today to think of, especially where those who reject the Lord Jesus are concerned. Man likes to think of himself as being his own ultimate authority, and that nothing or no one is higher than he is. It's a humbling thing. It's a very humbling thing indeed to admit, first of all, that there is a power higher than ourselves, and then go on and give him the worship and the adoration that he deserves because of it. To realize that our existence is dependent upon the Lord. We're in his hands rather than our own puny and miserable efforts. You see, the fact of the matter is that it is the Lord himself who daily loadeth us with benefits. You know, oftentimes people will get an idea in their heads that the God of the Old Testament is a stern God, a harsh God, one who's more to be feared than to be loved. But brethren and sisters, this is very wrong. The picture here is very different in our text. It's a picture before us of a tender and merciful God, a gracious God. And in the words of the text, we see the Lord stooping down in love to help the weak, to relieve the weary, to bring deliverance to the oppressed. And that's how he has always dealt with his people. Isn't that a tremendous thing? Characters such as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and countless others in the Word of God in their time of need have proved it time and time again. And that's why when we think of these things, we should be led to praise him. That's why the verse says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." I don't believe either it's without significance that the psalmist employs the title for God here, which most strongly expresses the idea of supremacy and dominion. If you think about it, the title of Lord has to mean the very highest, the very highest ruler of all, the one whose absolute and unchallengeable authority covers all mankind. He is the one who's stooping down here and supplying the needs of his creatures. That's how we can think of why the Lord condescends to help and sustain us. It's one that's seen very clearly in this psalm, because if you read and we didn't have the time to read the whole psalm, but if you read that psalm, you have on the one hand a marvelous and magnificent display of the authority and power of God. But on the other hand, you have a wonderful insight into his willingness to be concerned with the needs of the individual. Look at verse 4, for instance. We read of God riding through the heavens by his name. That's a picture of a marvelous and an infinitely almighty God. Verse 7, he marches forth at the head of his people. Verse 8 speaks of the earth shaking and the heavens dropping at his presence. Even Sinai itself moved at such a presence. Verse 11 and onwards, his word going forth so mightily as to scatter armies and their kings. Read in verse 17 of the chariots of God as 20,000, even thousands of angels. And the summary of that sight of God is verse 18, "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, for thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." Oh, friends, what a tremendous thing that is. And it is then that the psalmist turns it right around under the inspiration of God. From that wonderful view of Almighty God, his earth-shaking power, to this text that we're considering today. "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." So in spite of the thoughts of some concerning the harshness of God as he's revealed in the Old Testament, is there anything as great as this? When we think that how Isaiah 40 says, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers." When we realize that it's the very same God who daily loadeth us with benefits, we can't help but being in awe. And as a result of that, being in praise. Not only the source here, but I want you to see, second of all, the supply of the blessing. Look at what the text says. "Who daily loadeth us with benefits." Now, there are three very simple things about this. There is the fact of it. The word benefits there, if you look at it, is in italics. Now, that means it's not in the Hebrew text of the Scriptures, but has been supplied by our translators to give the sense of what is being said. It's one of the great things about the authorized version of the Scriptures that makes it, I was going to say head and shoulders above the rest, but it's not even on the same level. There's no comparison between the Scriptures of the authorized version and any other version that's out there of God's Word. It's the only Bible that you should be using. And this is one of the reasons why. Because when man put his hand upon it by way of explaining what these words mean, the translators were very careful to put it in italics. And they got it right, of course. But it shows the reverence these men had for the sacred text. A reverence that is not there, I have to say, by those who came after them. And so that's why I love the authorized version. That's why, by the grace of God, I will never, ever use any other. There's no other need. Why would you want to use a second-rate version of Scripture when you've got the best one, when you've got the blessed one as the authorized version? I tell you, some otherwise people that like to use the authorized version in the pulpit, some might even use other versions in the study. I don't have no need for that at all. This is the one Bible for me, praise God. And so they've done this. They put this word in italics because the sense of the line is that God doesn't load his people down with burdens beyond their ability to bear them. Burdens that being added every day could be seen in that regard. But the fact is, these are benefits. They are blessings that God loads us down with day after day with regularity. The things that we receive from Him daily are far from being a burden. No, they're a joy. They're a delight. That's a fact. There's not one of us here this morning that hasn't already enjoyed much blessing today. Think of your health. When there's so many that are struggling, and I mentioned Dr. and Mrs. Kearns in the prayer, do pray for them at this time. But there's others, many, many others that are struggling with health at this time, and yet here you are in the house of the Lord. Think too of the ability that you have to get out to the house of the Lord. There's many that are shut away in nursing homes and so forth that would love to be in a meeting like this. The very fact that you have some way of being transported there, the fact that you have some sort of clothing to put on, and by the looks of every single one of us, myself included, we haven't had to fast today or yesterday through lack of supplies in the cupboard. Oh, I could go on about the temporal blessings that every single one of us have enjoyed. The fact of the matter is indisputable. We have received much from the hand of the Lord, even this day already. So there is the fact of it. There's also the frequency of it. You'll notice there the text says, who daily loadeth us with benefits. The word daily there is the common word for day in the Hebrew Bible. But it's repeated. You don't see this in the English. This is why we had to be put through Hebrew in college, because Hebrew is far, far more expressive. There's far more to it than there is in the English language. And in the Hebrew text, the word there, daily, is repeated. As I say, you don't see this in the English version, but literally, if I was to read this literally, it would say, blessed be the Lord who day by day loadeth us with benefits. Now, what's the point? Sure, daily seems exactly the same. Well, it's not as strong. Day by day reinforces the idea to us. It's there for emphasis. The psalmist was inspired by the Holy Ghost. He wants to emphasize this glorious fact that it is day by day that we receive these things. Every single day of our lives. I've mentioned the giving of the manna already. The manna was sent every single morning We see it as a wonderful type or a picture in the Word of God, of the Word of God itself, in fact. But it is a wonderful picture of the benefits that we receive every single day. Turn over with me to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. I want you to see in verse 21, Exodus chapter 16, verse 21. It says there, "And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating." So you'll understand that they gathered it fresh every morning, because that verse continues, verse 21 of Exodus 16, "And when the sun waxed hot, it melted." And so in the morning, in the cool of the day, there was plenty to supply the needs of the people. But then when the sun rose into its meridian in the sky and the height, in the heat of the day, that manna withered away to nothing. It meant that the Lord would have to then send another fresh supply the very next morning. In fact, the only morning it didn't appear was the Sabbath morning. But there was an exception. In that, the day before the Sabbath, they had to gather twice as much and cook the half of it for the next day. It's plain from the passage of Exodus 16, verses 20 and 27, that those who took more than they needed or didn't gather for the Sabbath the day before, they would suffer loss. But it's clear, the Lord sent a fresh supply, new every morning for His people. I'm so tempted to go off on a tangent here about how we should read the Word of God. Every single morning there's a fresh supply for you. And if you don't take that fresh supply, you will suffer loss. That comes out. You could do a series on the manna, but that's not the message for today. And in that one lasting, long-lasting miracle, we have a picture of what the Lord does for us today. He's the one who daily, day by day, loadeth us with benefits. There isn't just a word here about the fact of the supply or the frequency of it, but notice the fullness of it. The psalmist uses the word loadeth to describe how the Lord sends His blessing upon the earth. And the word loadeth there always has the sense in the Hebrew text of the being laden down with a burden. I'm sure maybe you've been watching some documentary of life in the East or in some third world country where they still use donkeys to carry things around. You could maybe relate to this. You've maybe seen a picture of a poor old donkey all loaded down, almost buckled under the weight of all the goods that are piled up on it. Maybe a person that's going to a market has taken all their provisions along to sell, and the poor old donkey's nearly weighed down with the whole lot. That's the sort of picture that we have here. And it fits in with how the word is used in the text. Just think about the blessings of the Lord that each one of us enjoy day by day. Is that not an accurate picture? Whether we realize it or not, the fact remains that every single day we are loaded down every single day with benefits and blessings for the day itself. It's a fresh supply for every single day. Isn't that why we sang that hymn? Obviously, with the way things are, I didn't pick the hymns, but it obviously is tied in with the message, because Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." His compassions, the tokens of His mercy toward us, they fail not, they're new every morning. Friend, have you realized it? Have you felt the weight of those things that, if we're all frank about it, we really forget about? Can you say that you know what the Lord does for you every single day? That isn't even beginning to take in the spiritual blessings on top of the temporal blessing. Boy, if we cannot even begin to count up the blessings that every person experiences every day, never mind try to reckon up the spiritual ones too. That's why we read in 1 Corinthians 10, Verse 26, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth and everything in it is the Lord's. And verse 28, the sentence is repeated again, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So temporal blessing, such as we're remembering today, is from the Lord. We've seen that in its source. We've seen that in its supply, the fact of it, the frequency of it, the fullness of it. But I want you to see the last part of the text, because it's all certified by that. We have the surety of the blessing. The certainty or the surety of the blessing. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. It almost seems unnecessary to have that line in there in the light of what we've learned. But the point is, friends, when trials, when difficulties, when hardships come our way, who's the first person that we doubt? It's the Lord. Let's take one example, because at the present time, we don't only have this virus upon us, but many will be suffering financial difficulties. When those things come upon us, how often do we wonder, has the Lord left me? Has the Lord forsaken me? And that's why I believe the Lord has been careful to put this phrase in there. It's as if He has said, the God of our salvation will continue to load us down with these benefits day after day. Because as He has saved you, child of God, He's going to preserve you. He's going to keep you. As you have partaken of His special saving grace, you'll also be a partaker of His common grace. The words of Hebrews 13 and verse 5 must be considered in this light, because the verse says, let your conversation now, the word conversation in the Authorized Version just means more. It means more than just speaking to each other. A conversation is a bigger term. It means manner of life, how you live your life. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The word conversation, as I say, means manner of life, because it comes from another word which means to turn. The thought is how we turn through life. The turns that we take, in other words, that is the manner of life, how we steer ourselves through our life on earth. And it's to be without covetousness. And friends, that's very important too in a day when many people seem to want all that they can and everything else. The word covetousness there has to do primarily with money, but we can include everything else, every earthly possession. So for the Christian, our manner of life is not to be marked by a greed after earthly things. We're not to be seen as those that are turning to the left and turning to the right after the things of the world. Rather, we're to be content with the things that we have because God has given us them. And the promise of God is true. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And the words might seem similar in the English, but in the Greek language, they're different. The words for leave there has the sense of being loosed. It's a bit like, I'm sure, I don't know whether you've ever, I do a wee bit of cycling, and it really annoys me. I have to say, it really annoys me. I don't like cycling on the road, but when you go down a towpath and these people are walking along with their dogs on these dog leads that you can press a button and then the dog can take off. Why? Because they always, always let the dog go when the bicycle is coming. And where does the dog go? It goes right in front of you. And I've nearly run over I don't know how many dogs in my lifetime. But anyway, it's like that. That being loosed is like that dog lead where you press the button and the lead is spun out a bit more and the dog can get further away. The dog has more freedom on the lead. Friends, the Lord's never going to do that with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He will provide our needs day after day after day. That's a certainty. The God of our salvation is our certainty. If He has saved us and washed us in the blood of the Lamb, He'll not leave us to ourselves. It is beyond question. My friend, if He has elected you to salvation before the foundation of the world, if He is actually in the process of time, sent forth His only begotten Son to actually secure that salvation on the cross, not merely to provide you with a chance to be saved, but actually infallibly secure your salvation on that cross. If He has then later organized every single thing in your life that you would be under the sound of the Word of God, and as a result, you'll be convinced of your sin and drawn to Christ. If He has justified you and declared you free from guilt in His sight because of what Christ has done on your behalf on the cross, if He has given you that spirit of adoption whereby you can cry, Abba, Father, if He has brought you into the family and fold of God as a child of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, if He has begun that good work in you called sanctification and has promised to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, if He has ordained you to come back one day soon for you and receive you unto Himself, if He has prepared that place in glory for you, a mansion in fact, do you not think with all that He's not going to supply your every single need? In the words of Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Friend, if you don't see that, if you have a root of unbelief about it in your soul, you need to seek the Lord. Unbelief, especially where the clear word and promises of God are concerned, is one of the greatest blights on the church of Christ today. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Oh, listen, we need to pray. If we have that problem with the father in Mark chapter 9, the distressed father over his son, Lord, I believe, help thy mine unbelief. Oh, I tell you, that is unbelief in the Lord who has saved you. Oh, I tell you, it's one of the most terrible sins in the Word of God. And the obvious lesson to be learned in this is we need to get over that and go on to having a greater faith in the Lord God of heaven who saved you. In other words, if He has gone to the extent that He has done in that, He's not going to desert you now. So when those trials and difficulties come, don't give in to thoughts of what's happening to me. What's the Lord doing in my life? Oh, don't think like that at all. Continue to look unto Jesus, who's the author, yeah, and the finisher of your faith. I trust each one of us will go on and be those shining testimonies to the goodness of God in the days to come for His glory. Amen.